Well, there's our cue that we're together again here as the Radio Ranch rolls into the Tuesday edition, and it's one of those 12-22-20. Now, that's a pretty interesting date stamp, and it is 22nd of December, the Tuesday of Christmas week. I remind you that as scheduled, we got Brent on Thursday, and I guess everybody will be doing whatever they're doing on Christmas Day. It doesn't seem like we ought to have a radio program on Christmas Day. And then I think next week we'll just treat it like a regular week because there's so much happening. Don't y'all pretty much agree? Would you like to have a daily show next week on the dead week?
I'm all for it.
I mean, I just don't know. Usually I like to just take a little bit of a breather, but hell, I'd just be sitting around bored stiff if I wasn't preparing and involved in this with you guys on a regular basis. So I'll tell you what, we'll kick it off Monday and see what it looks like, and then we've got Brent on Thursday, maybe take a 2 days off during the week. Something will come up. Chris just joined us here. Chris, I was given the date stamp 12-22-20. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? Right before the show started, we were talking, and I was mentioning something about living in Argentina, and we got off on a little bit of a jag on Malbec as a variety of wine, and I was explaining that to Jeff and the other guys, and I thought, well, maybe, I don't know if any of y'all are looking to have a nice wine with your Christmas dinner. I'm not sure that's exactly the variety that goes, you know, the white with fish and chicken kind of thing and red with meat that a turkey would dress out at, but I can promise you that it's a really nice variety of wine that a lot of people don't know about. It's called Malbec, M-A-L-B-E-C. And it's unique in a sense because, as I was explaining to Jeff, and this is what just I picked up down there, I'm no wine connoisseur by any means, but it is interesting to me. And the rest of the world uses that variety of grape as a blend. You'll see it in out of Europe as, you know, two or three varieties, and they'll make a blend, where the Argentinians, for whatever reason, like it just as Malbec. And a few years back, before I moved to Argentina, there was some sort of a bug that hit the European Malbec stands and wiped them out. And so Argentina has about the last great stand of these Malbec grapevines in the world. And it's a real rich, dark red wine and has, some people say, a slight cherry aftertaste. You can find it probably at any of your wine stores. And it's probably, I'm not sure, depending on what winery or bodega, as they would say down there, you got it from, probably anywhere from $15 to on up, you know. But anyway, just a little aside here as we get into the holiday season. Have any of y'all ever drank Malbec before that you remember?
Never.
That's a very
I have not, but I've been straining to come up with a wine to bring to a Christmas dinner meal. So I'm going to look for Malbec in the local wine big box store. Thank
yeah,
you
you'll probably your the people probably like it. Okay, and it's the Argentinians just thrive on it. Now the difference when I got down there, and the exchange rate was 3.1 to 1, 3.1 pesos to every dollar. And it was still very low. And I remember that you could get, they have what they call vino casada and other casadas, which means that it's homemade. Okay. And these people that have their own vineyards, these guys that are farmers all their life, and they go in and make their own wine like a normal winery would do. And they would sell it in these 7-liter big glass jars. They call them dobowanas, and it's about 7 liters, and you could buy that for 30 pesos. Okay. And if you're not a real alcoholic, you can't finish 7 liters before it goes starts turning to vinegar, right? And so what they learned to do was to take 1 liter bottles and pour it down into 1 liter bottles and cap it, and it wouldn't get turned to vinegar till you got to drink it. And but it's as good as any $7-8 a glass house wine in the U.S. you've ever gotten at a restaurant. Okay. So it was interesting living down there. We got a lot of interesting things happening in the world today, as you know. Looks like the worm is turning. I feel the worm's turning. And listening to, I'm sure Chris listened to the War Room this morning. There's some big developments in Georgia, and it looks like Kemp's probably going to have to call a special session. And like they said, if Georgia goes, the rest of the country goes. Used to be, if Georgia went, the Confederacy went. This time it's a little different because the northern Yankee states are going to get drug into this if Georgia goes down. And it looks like Trump's going to stay in there. I've felt that myself internally for a while from our law discussions, experience, and knowledge, knowing that those cases are going and already been docketed at the Supreme Court. They've got precedent. It's constitutional. They clearly have been laws broken, the Constitution voided, and, I've felt good about that for days, but this new development at the state level is real interesting. See, what else happened overnight? Guys, anything else strike you overnight? I mean, there's so damn much happening. The city of Detroit is countersuing Black Lives Matter. It's like the old Allison way. If I had a world of my own, everything would be what it is because everything would be what it isn't. And then what it is, it wouldn't be. You see? The city of Detroit is countersuing BLM. It's over on Citizens Free Press. Very good website. Okay?
Snake eating its tail.
Snake eating its tail. American Free Press is excellent. That Revolver.News has got excellent stories on there. In fact, it's got Julian Assange's wife, the mother of his two children he fathered. They're probably Ecuadorian citizens. Because he fathered them when he was in the Ecuadorian embassy. So
conjugal visits.
So, anyway, she's got an article, an interview up there with somebody talking about how they're trying to silence the First Amendment with Julian. It looks like Julian and maybe even Mr. Snowden might get pardons. Boy, let me tell you what, you think this deep state's gone apoplectic. Let them lose this and Trump get in there and pardon those two guys and some of these other things that are going to happen. These guys will lose their mind.
I thought it was particularly noteworthy yesterday, I think it was, that up in Delaware, I think it was Delaware, that they had locked up the state house, were having a secret meeting inside, didn't want those pesky people seeing what they were up to, and they appeared in mass demonstrating, and a few of them made it inside, and of course the state house guards shot them with pepper balls, and they tried to claim that the Patriots had pepperballed the police, and they had quite a bit of kerfuffle up there, and apparently the populist people are rising up, and they ain't liking this secret crap behind the closed doors, not to mention the old song to the same name, When We Get Behind Closed Doors, Bloody Pride.
May I add just a layer of irony to what you said, because you identified it as Delaware, and it wasn't Delaware, it was Oregon. And that even makes it sweeter because they're inside the state house with this witch, Moonbeam's third youngest daughter that's been running the state into the damn ground, as we all know, are in there trying to do some laws on the lockdown. And they, these people that have had their lives ruined, are wanting to get in there and participate in the meeting, in the hearing, okay? And the defund the police people call the police to get the protesters away.
That's kind of like the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
Listen, the hypocrisy of these sorry bastards is showing at every turn. So it's a good thing. That's a good thing. The more they can expose themselves for who and what they are, the better we all are. By the way, I don't see Samuel on the board yet. Any of you got any peoples that you know out in California? Evidently, the Recall Gavin Newsom movement has taken absolute legs, is almost at a million, and all they need is a million too, I think. Okay? And that's in like 10 days. That it's gotten that many signatures. So that's off to a race and head start. And, yeah, the people are rising up. The situation in Oregon, we saw it up in Michigan or somewhere earlier a while back. They were trying to close these meetings, and they're about to get exposed big time. I mean real big time. And the question is, are the Republican and Democratic parties basically, as we've always known them, about to fold? Because the Republican Party is certainly controlled in a large part by the New World Order and its wants, desires, and plans and goals. And those people are getting exposed, too. And this new Republican Party that's got a big tent, man, with all of these ethnicities that are in there and everybody just concentrating on a freedom kind of theme, and a bunch of them coming from former communist countries that are now in the Republican Party.
Well, you know, Roger, I've observed that there's been two factions of the Republican Party for quite a while, the neocons, Republicans in name only, and the true Republicans that are really conservative patriots that love America. And whenever you look at this dramatic paradigm, this shift between these different factions, it belies the fact that the ACT Blue Democrats, the left-wing extremists, have infiltrated the Republican Party and have all these actors, Mitch McConnell, Mossad Mitt Romney, John McCain, of course, he may be gone now, and his daughter's still there. And his these people are infecting done, and affecting is, policies all around the world.
His ex-wife has orchestrated this whole, and her bunch, his ex-wife, she ain't capable of it, and her bunch have orchestrated this whole Arizona situation.
Absolutely. And that's another place that's on fire that it looks like they're meeting again at the State House down there today. They had a seven hour or so meeting yesterday, and they're meeting again trying to decertify the election because of the election theft, the fraud, the absolute deceit, the questionable machines, the stuffing of the ballots, the foreign voters, the ghost voters, the zombie voters, the dead voters, all these different anomalies, so-called, and statistical strangeness. It's just a bizarre, the place is on fire.
They were jumping out of the grave to vote down in Arizona, weren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and the situation was, and it's developed, I got a little update on that. Yesterday we talked about it. The legislature's judiciary committee, that oversees the courts, best I recall, right? Doesn't the judiciary committee oversee the court system and laws?
Allegedly.
Okay, allegedly.
Bar members holding bar members accountable is pretty farcical.
It is interesting to dissect some of this. They issue a subpoena to the board of electors at the election supervisor, who the split there is one Democrat and four Republicans. And they are in the hearing that the Judiciary Committee has. They ask them questions and stuff. The hearing dismisses, and the committee issues a subpoena to the election board for a whole bunch of information they didn't ask them about. And so the election board meets for a couple of hours and decides not to give it to them. And now the election board has filed suit to challenge the authority of the Judiciary Committee and their power to bring a subpoena.
This sounds like a union labor struggle where the hierarchy of the union is telling the people to do something, and the people that are working for them, that hired them, are telling them they're going to sue them. I mean, it's absolutely mondo bizarro.
Well, the guy, and I don't know all the players there at the election committee, but one of them got up and said, I'll go to jail before I turn this information over. And I'm thinking, well, hell, buddy, you'll go to jail either way, bastard. You idiot. Play at least one play side. for God's sakes. Put yourself on the winner and step out and say, you know, the old saying, it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission.
Absolutely. And whenever they use their dodge of obstruction of justice and stonewalling to prevent exposing their own criminality, it becomes so blatantly obvious to the people that are looking from the outside in that they're trying to protect their own butts, and the guys are trying to claim that they're protecting the providers of the election equipment.
And that none of them really realize to the extent that they're selling their country out to China and all this nefarious stuff that they've put in place since Bill Clinton and them opened the door for them. And here's what they're doing. They're coming in and they put their people in an American company. Some cutting-edge technology company, for instance. And then they go in and find the critical secret that allows that company a future, and they steal it and go back to China and start another company to compete with them. And then they undersell them and put them out, and then they've got the market. That's their damn game plan. And they're doing it all over the place. They have loaded up through these Wall Street bandits. You know, talking about your pension funds in trouble? Well, they don't talk about this. They've taken your pension funds and bought all these bogus Chinese companies with false accounting that are all based on lies that are tied to the Communist Party.
Well, and the real issue that brings its ugly head here is that when you're conspiring with the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP, you are absolutely creating and generating terrorism against America, and therefore you're a seditious conspirator that deserves to be hung, tarred and feathered, and set on fire, and held to public accountability in the pillory.
Now, we know and talk a lot around here about our ethnic competitors, the Jews. Okay. And I would say, if you got a little time over the holidays here, we're into the Christmas holidays. I'm not sure how many of you were working anyway. Ways that are dark. Ways that are dark. You can go put a search engine, go use Gopher, go use DuckDuckGo. Try, you know, the best, I hope all of us don't use Google. I haven't used Google as a search engine since Old Blue was a pup. Cool. Unfortunately, I still use one of their emails, but I'm not trying to hide anything from them. But regardless, go back and I got drifted off there. And what was I talking
about? Ways that are dark.
Ways that are dark. Go back and put Ways That Are Dark in there. It was written in the 30s. For those of you who don't know the background here, we've talked about it a bit on the show. I believe the author's name Townsend. And he was not only a U.S. diplomat, but he was from a family and a lineage of U.S. diplomats. And he served two tours in China. The book was written in the 30s. And the reason that's important is because it was before Mao took over. Okay, and what you're seeing is the real China and its tendencies and peculiarities and the nature of its culture in his book. I remember reading about it. It was republished by the Barnes Review folks in the 90s. It's where I heard about it on Tom Valentine one night. And it's he's not a great writer. It's a little bit dry to read, but he's got an incredible sense of humor. And I remember reading it four or five times. Sitting on my porch up in the mountains of North Georgia and just breaking out into belly laughs. And very, very insightful into China. So there, if you want to go look at something to learn about, and then you mix what we know about the Jews and the fact that, as we learned from, I forget which one of these guys, was at a gallery or something and saw a picture and made the comment, it was on one of these memes floating around, that the guy that founded Goldman Sachs' daughter was with Mao from the start. Now, and what happened last week, first time ever, Goldman Sachs was allowed to open their whole financial stuff in China, 100% no Chinese Communist Party ownership, first time.
Hmm. Not to change the subject, because this is a better thread, but you were about to tell us which search engine you were using in lieu of Google and DuckDuckGo.
Actually, I credit one. I use been using this one that Daryl turned me on to, Captain Daryl, called Gopher. Spelled just like Gopher. Gopher.com. So, may want to check it out. Let's see, what else is going on worth talking about? The vaccine. I hope none of us are going to be taking the vaccine. I'm hoping Paul maybe calls in mañana to hear about which level of lockdown he's in Sussex. They got four levels of lockdown going on all over England, and four is the most dramatic one, and they got that little country shut down over the mutation. Now, I heard Dr. Siegel, who, at least from a science standpoint, I tend to trust, the guy that's on Tucker and all the Fox shows, and he was going into the mutations of these viruses, and it may mutate to become a little more contagious, but its lethality, when it mutates, generally diminishes. It's like making a copy of a videotape. Every time you make a copy, you lose a little bit of quality. And I think that's basic principles, what's going on with this virus mutation stuff. But they're not losing the opportunity to flout it, especially at this important time of year, and let people know who's boss over there. And you can see the world global plan because they're letting you see it right there and in Australia and in Canada and probably to some extent in New Zealand. We know what's been going on in Victoria down in South Australia. In Canada, they arrested and maced a kid for playing hockey. Did you see that? Hockey, in a hockey rink, outside. They closed down that guy's barbecue thing up there and then came every day and started hassling the people that would come and protest around it. This is what they got aimed for in this great reset if they can pull it off, and I don't believe they can pull it off if President Trump is sitting up there in the White House. I think those are the forces that are coming to bear right here. The line between nationalism and globalism gets drawn finer by the day. I don't see Harvey popped up with us. I saw this. You know, Harvey's been touting this gal that ran for representative, Taylor Greene. Well, I remember it because it was her father that started a construction company, Taylor Construction Company, that all the years I was in Atlanta, they were a constant advertiser on Neil Bortz, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, etc. Okay, and it's his daughter, and they've taken the local successful company that they built there in Atlanta and evidently extended it all up and down the East Coast. And it's ultra successful now. She was run for Congress, and already she's in the meeting with Trump yesterday and the House members and comes out with a statement today. Basically, we're going to throw a hitch in their giddy-up. Okay, when it comes to the House stuff, and you've already got a number of members on, I'm sure, both sides, the House and the Senate. The House brings up the objection to the elections, and then they've got to get one senator to sign on, of which Tuberville has already stepped up and said he'd do. I'm sure he's going to have others behind him. But so she was coming out and getting press already, little old gal from Georgia. She's a pretty little old thing, obviously has a sense about her and control of herself, and I thought represented that real well in the short clip I saw over on citizensfreepress.com. So that's another wrinkle this morning. It seems like the intensity has died down a bit, being as this is Christmas week maybe, but it's still, there's a lot of stuff happening. The people in the back, with their shoulders against the wheels have certainly not let up. And I believe we're going to see Mr. Trump in office going forward for the next 4 years. And, man, maybe we'll get to clean some of these son of a bitches out of there. They've had control of those bureaucratic agencies. You know, I recall reading, I mentioned it the other day, I think, the Lewis T. McFadden book, the 31 Collective Speeches of Lewis T. McFadden. Now, this was between 31 and 34, okay? 31 speeches, but in those 3 years, in front of Congress, because they stop in there for applause, all right? And in one of those speeches, he says, the Federal Reserve Board controls every important office here in Washington. That was almost 100 years ago, okay? So you know, as the administrative state spawned, that they've always had control of them. And the thought of having somebody like maybe, let's just hypothetically say, Sidney Powell in at the Department of Justice has got to give them cold chills. Least you not forget, Trump appointed Tom Fitton to a new post about 6 weeks ago publicly to go in and investigate and remove corrupt judiciary.
That's quite a task that Mr. Fitton has got there. He's the right guy for the job. But I'll tell you what, Barr, whenever he left, he's wasting no time of bad-mouthing Trump and trying to reflect his retaliatory class-based animus for being besmirched. And I mean, they're alleging he was the deep throat over the DOJ for Barr, but I ain't buying that lie for nothing. I think he's always been anti-Barr. He's an ex-CIA operative agent, and he never was for Barr. He was always for Trump. He was always against him and covering up the evidence of the Hunter Biden from hell laptop. Testifies that they were fixing the elections for Biden and the DNC for the crime party. That's what the DNC Act Blue is, and the left-wing rhinos over at the Republican, they're all a bunch of criminals trying to cover up their own crimes and protect their own unsatiable lust for money and other power and influence in interest.
Barr is quite a wordsmith, okay? And when he came out on the statement, I don't see any outright evidence of fraud. They clipped that out and didn't give his full answer. And the rest of his answer was, we don't deal with civil stuff here. We're strictly criminal. And that was in the early days of this. Now, yesterday he came out and said, I don't see any evidence to call Inspector General or special counsel for Hunter Biden.
Well, you know, Roger, when they talk in this tongue in cheek,
but he didn't say they didn't see a special counsel for Joe Biden. Okay.
Well, and they didn't say that they may not be doing a criminal prosecution of Hunter Biden for treason and other high crimes and misdemeanors.
Well, they're going after him on the money first, and that's another false statement we've got. See, this is where you don't know because you don't ever hear stuff but sound bites, okay? And supposedly the Attorney General of Delaware, who I think's name is Weiss, is investigating Hunter Biden for the transactions and his tax fraud. And listen, man, AGs don't investigate for tax fraud, maybe state tax fraud, Delaware's income, state tax, okay? But they don't do any, no federal tax investigation is done by the local U.S. attorneys. I promise you. It's all done out of Washington with specialists up there because I got to face one of them one time. And they had to fly his ass down from Washington to come in there and beat me up. Little Jew bastard. I'm sure they're all Jews. I'll bet you everyone in the tax division up there is a Jew. What do you want to bet? Anybody want to take me up on that?
I think you're right.
So, believe me, I've been there. Little bitty short shit, about 5'4". I want to reach over and slap the glasses off of him.
Like Bowsy.
So anyway, you know, a lot of stuff we don't know about, but bars, you know what I mean? Come on, we've been saying it. Nobody else is saying it. I guarantee you, no, none of you have ever heard it on another radio show. The Department of Justice is under the International Monetary Fund in the bankruptcy. Now, I promise you, and all of their actions prove it.
I'm pretty sure that most all the agencies have been co-opted, compromised, and under the leverage of being paid through the IMF, maybe in gold and silver, but for sure, that's whoever's paying your bills, those who eat from the king's table owe the duty of the king.
Hey, listen, I mean, that's why these basics are so important. Protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. Doesn't matter how you want to frame that. If you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. I mean, there's a number of ways you can look at it, but it goes back to protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. Hello. Hello, Mr. Video. If you'll pop your video off, it's not because we don't like to look at your forehead and that you're not pretty, but it eats up a little bandwidth, and we're usually conscious of that around here. So if you get the chance and find the little button wherever on your cell phone, welcome aboard. Protection for allegiance, allegiance for protection. I promise you guys, you can't know those basics enough. You'll be amazed if you take the time and effort to learn that stuff. You'll be amazed at how many times you can come to a situation in your life and you just reach back and apply those principles, and bam, there's your answer.
You know, the important aspect of that that most people don't see, Roger, in my esteemed observation, is that you only have the illusion of protection for allegiance. Maybe they provide you some elemental fundamental initially, but then they turn it back and they're protecting their own corporate interest and their cronies that they're looking over, and they throw you to the wolves.
Well, you're their property. You're to be thrown to the wolves. And the protection you're getting, this is pretty good. I'm glad you opened it up. What's the protection you're getting under the 14th Amendment, Chris?
Well, you're supposed to be protected from being abused by the states.
It was passed so the new black slaves would be protected against retaliation from the state. So when you answer those questions, you're saying, yes, I'm looking for federal protection against my state, wherein I am a resident. Okay. And there's the protection for allegiance. And then the other side of that, if you receive the benefit, you owe the duty. Well, there's little duties like you got to adhere to all these regulations that the administrative state promulgates just for you. And you got to do things like pay these taxes, which are supposed to be voluntary. The voluntary nature, you know, when they used to say in the IRS stuff, our tax system is based on voluntary or something. I forget how they phrased it, you know, but they said it right in their pamphlet, and these old patriots would send in and say, well, I choose to unvolunteer. Well, that's good, but that ain't the person to do it with. And the underlying thing is your involuntary servitude that's got you into position of in that tax situation. You see, when they're saying it, it's always, you know, it's don't look over here or look over there. Well, don't say it's a voluntary system. Are you thinking the tax system's voluntary? No, the underlying system's voluntary, and you agreed with it. So, hell, you ought to know what you are, shouldn't you? Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Even the commissioner of the IRS thanked people in the booklet saying, we thank you for your voluntary compliance.
Right, that's right. Yeah. I remember that guy that Harold Russo had on, the commissioner of the IRS that he interviewed in his video, in his movie.
Yep.
And his name was, anybody remember his name?
Kosher, I'm sure.
Cohen. His name was Cohen, and they're talking in Yiddish in the middle of that thing. All right? And what the guy say? He said, you can't get out of it. BS, Cohen. We found your secret, you sorry piece of crap. You slaving son of a bitch. Hey, we've got a new person on Mr. T. Got his video thing off there. Welcome, Mr. T. If you care to, you're certainly welcome to join. Occasionally during the show, I like to sit back and say, is there anybody that's got something on the tip of their tongue they'd like to bring forward? Analysis, observation, any of that kind of stuff. Now's one of those moments. We have a silent gallery. Okay. Since nobody's got anything, let's see. Truck carrying hundreds of people, tanks explode during a Long Island expressway. Well, that looks good. Something on Zero Hedge, nice explosion out on Long Island. We haven't had any good riots or any stuff like that lately with all the attention on the election, so I guess we'll get some of that. The big danger I see with these guys when Trump, you know, is victorious here, boy, now there ain't no telling what they'll do. They're sore losers, you know. Have you noticed?
Roger, you know, I'm looking back 6-8 months ago prior to the election, and I'm recalling with some specificity that some of the alternative truth networks had been given the information. In fact, I think it was InfoWars and some others, that this was the plan that they had created in this exercise, Event 21 or 2201, as they call it, Johns Hopkins, back in 2010, where they said that eventually what was going to happen is it was going to appear that was going to be elected, but then after things were filtered out, it would switcheroo. And they were implying that it was going to appear like Trump and then Biden was going to be, but I think they did is they flipped the script and they made it appear like Biden was and eventually Trump is. And that's really going to spin people on its head. It's going to throw the left in a catatonic crap fit. And you're going to see this light the fuse to the revolution. At least they're going to try to ignite the chaos and confusion and crisis around America and the world, perhaps. These color revolutions, this controlled opposition, this counterinsurgency movement here in America is something America has never openly seen before. I mean, we've been under an info war here from the Stockenberg media, but
not to this degree, that's for sure. And it shows, you see, this is the full court press, because if they don't get it done now, it's going to get dismantled to the point that they can't rebuild it. They've had to do it with lies. They've had to do it with fraud. It's taken, you know, according to the things we know and talk about around here, I would maintain and go into a debate with anybody that the war to bring in the civil law, as Darrell calls it, the war of northern aggression, was fought so that they could get the 14th Amendment installed, because they knew they were going to run the world with it 100 years later. These people do long-term planning, okay? So it's taken long with those many, and then the things that happened in a couple of court cases, then the Federal Reserve Act taking over the country, going in and bankrupting it, going in and forming the structure for the administrative state to grow and control you. Okay? They've gone through all of those steps, and they're being dismantled right in front of their eyes, or at least threatened. And I would say, you know, I saw a list the other day of Biden had the first things he's going to do when he gets sworn in. There was like five of them. You know what two of them were? Putting us back in the Paris Peace Accords and getting us back in the TPP. The two things we've discussed ad nauseum around here, that the first things that Trump did was yank us out of those two deals. Those were the foundational at the end of them throwing the final nails in.
You're exactly right, Roger. Those were the final nails in the coffin of complete subjugation to foreign interest. This is exactly what Clarendon Pliven says they're supposed to do. Tear down the institutions, destroy them absolutely, and rebuild it in the new form, the reset of the New World Order of their global feudal system government.
Well, they lose. They lose, thank God, and China's in a hell of a mess behind the scenes, and I encourage y'all to watch some of the Epoch Times shows. China in Focus is the one that comes right off the top of my head. I noticed they've teamed up tremendously with the populism movement. I watched about half of a interview with Joshua Phillips, who's integrally involved with the Epoch Times, and had his own nightly program called Crossroads for a long time. I've watched a lot of it this year, but he's not doing it anymore, it doesn't appear. And he just did an hour-long interview with Len Wood. It's over on, again, citizenfreepress.com, and very insightful. Boy, Len Wood's a solid guy. A solid Christian, a solid attorney, and doesn't pull any punches. Okay, so that was good this morning, and a lot of people stepping forward. As I commented, I've never seen so many different efforts started at the grassroots level, independently of each other, to go after this problem. You know, I think everybody senses the fact that if this is allowed to continue and Biden gets in, there'll never be another election that they don't win, because they ain't never going to chance letting another Donald Trump slip in on them. And that's the overriding deal. It's that line of demarcation between this 150-plus-year-old globalist effort to control the world, biblical in scope and proportions, and this nationalism band of renegades that's drawn the line and put their foot down, said no.
Okay, it's do or die for everybody.
Yep, we've gotten to the proverbial fork in the road, you know.
And we're going to take it.
Yeah, it's been taken. The decision's been made, and those forces have been unleashed, and we win, okay? And that's these guys, as I said a minute ago, are sore losers. I think that maybe this little cyber attack we got here a few days ago, I think that may be some foreshadowing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Because the talk is that they have gotten in and broken all those barriers going in through solar winds, and an update that they put out recently and allowed them, and they may have gone in and planted like malware and software that doesn't activate for a while.
That solar wind and Orion, you're exactly right. It's a malware. It's a sleeper bug that lays in the background and operates in the processor system. And then there's a certain time it can be remote actuated, whether it's by satellite, on-site, or other forms of actuation, maybe a phone signal or a text message or whatever else. This is a really insidious thing. These worms or bugs they put in there is something you can't even know, but when you have devised in backdoor access by the intel groups, it's very dangerous to freedom, liberty, and the global economy.
Well, remember what WikiLeaks released, I believe, was their tools, and they had a way of going in and hacking and then leaving little signatures that would point to the Russians or the Chinese, or God forbid, point to the Israelis, who is who I think did this. And I'm not the only one. I heard even the guy that I don't particularly listen to a lot, but I heard a SGT report a little bit the other night of John David Steele, and he said definitely the Israelis. And that's kind of what I had suspicion from the start, too. Don't forget, they've been piling technology and all this stuff over there for years. I would I bring out an old story that folks that hadn't been around here for a while probably hadn't heard, because we don't talk about it too much. One of my oldest friends was on a trip to do some work. He does fiber cable stuff, some of the preliminary engineering and stuff where they lay fiber cable in. And he was on a job down in South Florida, and he stopped. He was glad to get the job because there's this place in Jacksonville that he really likes to eat, he was familiar with. So he's driving down there on 95, I think it is, pulls off, gets to his place, he's eating his meal, And out the window, there's a very unusual shop next door with all this really unusual, innovative, creative furniture. I forget what the guy was making the furniture out of, but it was kind of unique and craftsy, okay? And Steve was particularly, he's like that anyway, he was just interested in it. And so after his meal, he's walking over there and talking to the guy that's the manager and runs the little shop that's selling the stuff. And the guy's talking to him. He says, well, this is nice furniture and all that. And the guy opens up to him and he goes, well, look, I'm not the owner. The owner's this really computer guru guy. And he's the one that's doing all this. And he's got all kinds of fancy stuff set up. He said, do you know if you register your country in Israel, your company in Israel, that you always come in at the top of the Google search lists? Hello?
Oy vey.
If you register your company in Israel, you always come out at the top of the search lists on Google? Now, that's just a guy running a store that the owner put this together and told him, and he's telling my friend that in conversation. Well, that's how deep this thing's infiltrated. That's why I say Israel. They got the technology hub. All these big companies have offices and headquarters or sub-headquarters over there in Israel.
Well, Roger, whenever we've got the Clanton gang and others, and, of course, the whole group in Congress and the Senate sending all of our technology over there and selling it to them for a pittance, money for nothing and your chicks for free, in the words of, you know, of the song, this is where they get it, all that intel. You know, and if you design in a design defect where it appears like there's a problem with something, and they already know the fix when you send it over there and you buy it because it's damaged goods, tainted, or it's supposedly got a glitch in the operation system, they send it over there for nothing. They fix the glitch because they already put it in there, and then they bought it for zip, and that's how they build up this massive intel. And, of course, we've got the deep state operatives, and maybe they are or not from the sandbox, but the deep state operatives have the ability to set up places in Belgrade and Ukraine and other places around the world and project that it's coming from anywhere they want to point it to. This is what the Shadow Net and General Jones's Dynology was all about.
Do you know that's Hunter Biden's theme song now?
Money for nothing and your chicks for free.
Sure. they're an insidious bunch. And by the way, in this $900 billion bill that I hope Trump vetoes, there's a bunch of money for the Satan sandbox and his little cast of characters over there in that bill, although you are only getting $600, you little surfy peon. And be grateful you're going to get it, too, okay?
Hunter Biden is everything he's cracked up to be.
That's right. Oh, I get, you know, Barr says, I don't see any need for a special prosecutor for Hunter Biden. And I thought, yeah, I guess pedophilia doesn't need a special prosecutor, does it? Not when you got the damn videos. And the biggest travesty was they had that thing and they let that impeachment farce go on in the House. Having that evidence. Spending $40 million on Mueller and that whole farce. All that impeachment crap that instead of dealing with things that are legitimate that need to be going through the legislature up there, they're pulling that dog and pony show. And these people are being exposed from nine ways to Sunday, okay?
For Christ's sakes, Roger, ever since before Trump got in the White House, he has been under a legal lawfare attack.
Yep.
By the whole Democrat Party and the half of the flipping Republican Party, because these people absolutely are fearful of him because he's not in cult segregated, encrypted, and compromised to the max, like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and the others, where they've sold out to China. They took the money and the benefits and the special benefits, like Christine Feng Fang, sleeping with a Russian spy for several years, like this idiot Swallowwell over there. Feinstein and her 20-year Chinese handler driver.
Well, now Swalwell was sleeping with the Chinese, not the Russians. Chris, I have to correct you. We try and be correct around here.
I may have misspoke. I apologize. I meant Chinese.
Fang Fang. And the other question that came up, I heard that discussed in something I was watching. It said, well, who notified her? Because she was notified she was under investigation and fled the country. She's back in, well, she may be bedding somebody else around the world, but who knows? As far as we know, she's back in China. So who let her know about that? There's a bunch of furs going to be flying here after the first year, folks. And on top of that, the financial situation rolls forward and the Great Reset's got to come one way or the other. Either it's going to come with the total exposure of these bastards and what they've done, or they're going to try their best to morph forward hob-legged with Trump running the U.S. and not having total global participation in this. By the way, guess who went in and negotiated that bill? It wasn't Trump. Of course, he's a little bit distracted right now. But the one that negotiated the bill with the Democrats is $900 billion? Mnuchin.
Yeah, that's suspect.
Huh. You think? All right. Anybody got? I see, is that Murr that's joined us? I can't believe Murr doesn't have anything to say. Pretty darn unusual day. So
is Murr demurring?
Pardon me. I don't know what Murr's doing, but it's when she doesn't have something to say, I think that's pretty unusual. We welcome her anyway, as we do everybody else. I don't get on and talk about the fact that these broadcasts are available on CastBox, C-A-S-T, cast, like a rod or a net, castbox.fm, FM. And you can put Radio Ranch up there, and we got a little over 2 years worth of archives. I try and put a brief description up at the end of the day when I'm uploading the thing and it's ready to publish. But, you know, honestly, I try and that's usually right pretty close to after the show's over. And I try and get in there and remember all the stuff we talked about, and I can't do it. It's pretty wide-ranging here and hard to go back to remember all these details and write it down, but there is at least some short of a short show description there. I think all you have to do is put your cursor over the little icon and the description pops up. I noticed there's some way you can comment and make comments over there, and somebody was on there saying something and said, Roger, do you moderate this? Let me tell you, I moderate this radio show. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have any of that crap. I moderate this show. And if you got questions, you can send them to me in an email, and we can talk about them on the program. And I will do private consultations with people, but I'm going to charge you, okay? I'm going to charge $150 an hour. My price went up with inflation. Why do I do that? It's not because I'm greedy. I'm trying to make it high enough where you'll come on the program and ask your questions so that everybody will learn. Okay? And so if everybody that wants to do one-on-ones because they're scared to ask a question on a public forum, I wouldn't have any free time in my life. And that's important to me at this stage of the game. But that's what this whole show is for, is to address those issues, this political status scam that's been pulled on us. And I just wish it could get more traction. And for some reason, up to this point, it hasn't and doesn't. Now, we all hope, I think, that situation is going to change as we go forward. All these people that are a lot more aware now and looking for answers. But we got them. You know, if enough people could get this message and file that document with the Secretary of State, the New World Order would know they're over.
You know, Roger, there was a, I can't remember the nurse's name, the one that passed out from the injection from the COVID.
Who may have died.
Apparently, it's reported that her name is on a death certificate on public information plate locations,
yep.
And she absolutely died from that injection. It wasn't a fainting passing out as a nurse that's used to seeing blood and stuff.
There have been some reports of a condition they call, I believe, epileptic shock.
It's a bunch of hooey.
Well, no, it's not a bunch of hooey. Years ago, there was a bunch of women that died from it from Tampax.
Well, I'm not saying that the
toxic shock.
Yeah, toxic shock. I'm not saying that's not a genuine occurrence. But what I'm saying is this was a definite deadly reaction to the so-called COVID-safe virus vaccine.
And there were several people that died or had reactions that they categorized as apoplectic shock. I saw it in an article. I haven't paid too much attention to that. It's not totally my ballywick. I am interested in it. But in my mind, they ain't shooting me with it anyway. We like to learn about it and talk about it so people can learn and make their own educated decisions. But I'm shocked at some of the people that are fighting to get this thing. AOC cut in front of the line to get hers, evidently. So... they don't want to give them to older white people. Fantastic. Go give them to everybody else. Okay.
Yeah. Steve Sisolak here is giving it to healthcare workers and prisoners first. Yeah. it is the most bizarre thing. If there was any sense to it, you couldn't make any sense out of it. And this is just the bizarro thing. If you wanted to offend the American people so badly that they'd stick their finger in your eye or react violently, this is exactly what you do.
Well, Chris, there's a bunch of backlash at the medical facilities in the U.S. It's starting. I've seen a couple of articles that alluded to it. But in Belgium, they had 87,000 nurses that stood up and said, we won't take that. 87,000.
Good for them.
So, as I said, you know, as we go forward on all these really important issues, man, the line, the demarcation gets drawn thinner and thinner by the day. You find out which side people are on more by the day. It looked like yesterday Barr coming out and making those parting statements, okay? Well, if there was any question about where he was before yesterday, there shouldn't be now.
There were no questions with some of us.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. And one of the big things they had, evidently, I heard somebody say that they had to, that Trump's been wanting to fire Christopher Wray for a long time, and they've been in there begging off and not getting him not to fire him. That some bitch should have been gone months ago. As well as Haskins and all those heads of this the intelligence agencies. I think some heads are going to roll, Betty, after this is over.
Seems to me that the critical question that should be asked is who recommended these people to be put in those positions, Christopher Wray and Guillermo Barrios, William Barr, some of these other people.
When one of those vacancies come up, the first place they go evidently is this SES organization. And they go in and find out.
Yeah, the SS here in America.
Well, which one of those traitors, some bitches, that they can plug into that slot? Look, our enemies have done a real good job of setting this up from the beginning to get to the two-sided coin. You know that one, Chris, heads I win, tails you lose? I saw a video the other day with Mr. Sisolak on it, had a video of him. I wanted to reach through the damn screen and slap him silly, Chris. Corrupt son of a bitch.
Well, some that do their due diligence here know that he used to make his money in his mob operation by running a telephone call sex line, and that's where he got his money. And of course, then he sold out and got in bed with Adelson here on the building of this Raiders Stadium over here. It's quite an opulent thing, but immediately they sold it and cut themselves a fat hog and made more money. He's nothing but line his own pockets at the expense of everybody else and pretend that he's the all-knowing mighty Flabog that can tell you what you got to do and mask up, even though it causes pneumonia.
Tell me about this stadium scam out there. They built it and then sold it to the city so the football team could be moved over there?
Oh, it was such an important thing that they got the county here to donate the land so they could build it and gave them tax exemption for ad infinitum and threw in a bunch of money besides to Nathan Adelson to help the Raiders thing come here to Nevada and to give them the land to build the stadium on. And then they built this monstrous stadium and they locked the place down, driving down the perceived value of it so then they could sell it off to somebody. Of course, that wasn't until after before they locked it down, they sold it off to other interests and to private interest, and that drives down the price of it, and they can cut themselves a fat hog on the public dime and cut taxpayers here in Las Vegas out of a lot of tax benefits and raise our taxes and give Adelson the benefits and cut themselves a big fat chunk of change.
Well, you know, somebody had that in mind when that whole thing happened. You know, they hired Gruden away from being an analyst on TV. You remember the deal he got?
Well, that's exactly the same thing that Al Davis has been doing over in California all the time. You know, we'll give them here, and then we'll move it there, and then they'll build us another one. Then we'll do it. It works really well. It's a proven technique.
But yeah, but you remember the deal they gave Gruden? That was a question I had. $100 million for 10 years.
Oh yeah, the head coach.
Yeah. So interesting. But anyway, I did see Mr. Sislak, and he looked uncorruptible on the video, but I knew better.
Yeah, he had his mask on, didn't he?
He must have, Chris. Let's see, what's our time look like? Somebody wanted to say something. Yes, sir?
Hey, Roger, it's Samuel.
Hey, man. Hey, I hear
calling in from California behind the Silicon Curtain.
I hear that the recall Gavin Newman thing has gotten real legs and is almost at 1 million signers already.
Yeah, they need, I think, not too many more, but they'll just put some other cretin in there. You know, I mean, that's not as exciting as the potential that he just made an executive order out and sent ballots to everybody in the state without the legislature. So those electoral votes, they're not real either. And Preston is saying that President Trump might also be bringing that forward, that those 55 electoral votes from California would get dismissed as being fraudulent.
Well, you saw in Georgia, the gal that had been with the elections office for 20 years that testified that she could feel that the ballots they handed her to scan had never been folded, which means they'd never been put in an envelope. And she testified to that. They fired her. Her and another whistleblower.
Nothing like whistleblower retaliation.
Oh, well, she's probably got a real fat lawsuit. I hope she goes and gets Lynn Wood on a contingency. Go ahead, Samuel.
Yeah, Paul also said that there's a second thing that was wrong with the ballot. They were supposed to have certain legal wording on them, and they did not, which also makes them illegal.
Ooh, that's
interesting. So he's got sort of like a double clutch there where, you know, California, if you knock out 55 electoral votes, that would be a good step in the right direction.
Boy, it'd be good to see California get turned to a little more conservatism. Unfortunately, the people that would be a backbone of a new conservative California, many of them have left the state and they're leaving in droves.
He also said that new California state, and there's a new Nevada state movement that they both joined that Texas lawsuit, and that they were not rejected for that. They were accepted into that framework, I guess. So
now,
know what
did
it
they
all
join?
Means.
Hold Samuel, technicality. Did they join the lawsuit, or did they file an amicus brief?
Amicus brief.
Okay, that's not joining the lawsuit.
Okay.
Anybody can file. You can file an amicus brief on any Supreme Court decision going on up there.
Well, supposedly, their attorney said that they were accepted, not rejected, for being new states in that action. So
okay, well, whatever.
I don't really understand that.
To my knowledge, any interested party can file an amicus brief. It's not just at the Supreme Court, it's at all the court levels, usually for appellate, I would think. But in the Lynn Wood suit down in Georgia, the federal suit, they had tons of amicus briefs filed, I remember them saying, like hundreds from all these demo activists.
Really?
Yeah. That just meant what that means. That translates to friend of the court.
Speaking of friends of the court, Namichi, apparently there's some special friends from the CCP in a bunch of these different special operations like IBM, PepsiCo, 3M, and other locations. Of course, never mind the Zuckerbergs and the Silicon Valley over there in California, like Samuel said. But they have obviously been using these special access of investor status to infiltrate and invade America to put themselves in place to stage their invasion they have planned.
Man, I just flipped over to Citizen Free Press, and there's about 20 new articles up there since I started the show. So a bunch of stuff happening over there. I got lunch today. I didn't make it last week. You know, I've had gout. I hadn't talked about it too much on the show. But weekend before this, I think it was over the weekend, I went to bed, and everything was normal. And I woke up Sunday morning, and I almost couldn't stand up. And man, I've been dealing with that for a week, 10 days. That stuff is absolutely horrible. I've never had it before. And, woo, gives you cold chills, man.
Isn't that uric acid?
Yes.
Caused?
Yes, evidently, yes. And I've never had a problem with it, but I think what happened, because I've been trying to go back and pinpoint what brought it on. And I haven't come up with anything unusual except that this. And they've got, in the grocery stores down here, they've got organic young spinach and arugula and several other things. And I like to buy that young spinach and use it in a salad a little bit, mix it in with other spinach, and maybe use it in other ways. Well, I got the brainchild of taking that spinach and cooking it. And I took two packages of that stuff and cooked this baby spinach with some garlic and butter and put, you know, vinegar over it. And I'm wondering if that didn't trigger it. But I don't know. That was a few days before it came on me. But evidently spinach is one of the real culprits. I know asparagus triggers it for some people. But, man, I'm telling you, it's the only time I've ever had it. And I will do my best not to ever have it again. It's made my life miserable for about 10 days. It was all I could do to hobble in here to the microphone last Monday and Tuesday. I didn't talk about it too much on the air, but, man, I was in not a good way.
Hey, I found that seafood, organ meats, heavy meat, and alcohol tends to bring it on in me. And even chicken.
I've heard seafood, but I know a lot of people that have, like Tom Schramm has this. He's got a iodine reaction. I mean, he can eat one shrimp and he'll just break out and almost can't breathe. Okay. Wow. And people have that something in shrimp, but I've never had any of that stuff, and I kind of eat a balanced diet. I think it might have been that spinach, preparing it, and especially as it was baby spinach, and a lot of whatever is causing this may be concentrated in the baby leaves, you know? Because in Argentina, they eat very seasonally down there, and in the winter, one of the things you eat is spinach, but it's not baby spinach. It's these great big bundles of it you can buy. And that's why I did it, because in Argentina, I'd take that stuff and boil it down and do that same thing I was talking about. But that may have triggered it. But whatever Roger, it is, I don't want it again, man. And I ain't going to cook that spinach like that again, I promise you.
Having recently I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you been using ascorbic acid powder? You know, vitamin C powder.
I haven't. You know, I need to make me some liposomal, and I've been meaning to do it and just haven't done it, and I probably need to do that, Brent. So thanks for prodding me.
Go ahead.
I don't know if the liposomal will do it, but I just know straight vitamin C powder. I put it in orange juice, like about 3 scoops, and yeah, I don't chug it down all at once, but, you know, several times a day.
Sip it. You sip it through the day on stuff like that, and then you're getting a constant feed of it, not an overdose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, yeah. But that came on me last week, and I've been dealing with that. Thank God for pain pills, okay? Now, down here in South America, I don't know about all of South America, but I do know about 2 countries that I've lived in. You can't get any type of narcotic down here. Okay. I mean, they supply cocaine to the world, but you can't go and get a class 1, 2, or 3 narcotic. In fact, my friend's father-in-law in Argentina was dying of cancer, and they had to get morphine flown into the country, and he had to go to the airport and pick it up and sign for it and all that stuff. So, but what we've learned to do, and my chiropractor buddy turned me on to this, they've got all the traditional stuff, Tylenol and ibuprofen and that kind of thing. And what you do is you go in and get the strongest Tylenol and you get the strongest ibuprofen and take them together. And it gives you a pain curable threshold of what a narcotic would. And man, I've been living on those things for about a week. I don't like taking them, but it's the only way. If I don't, man, my foot's just still swollen and hurts. And it's funny, the pain isn't a real sharp stabbing pain. It's that dull thud pain that's there that is just, you feel it all over your whole body. You know, so enough about me and my health problems here, but I've gotten pretty much over that, and I believe I'm going to go enjoy lunch with the gang today here and see what who's in for Christmas and all that kind of stuff and get out a little bit. So looking forward to that today. Nobody's got any gout remedies for me? Drink a lot of water, I was told.
You already got the best one from Brent.
Well, I keep thinking it was that spinach that I did, that baby spinach that brought all this on. It may have been, but I just don't know the lag time because it wasn't immediate, you know, from when I ate that to the next day. It was a couple of days lag time. Don't know, just don't want it again. Anybody got any special plans for Christmas? Or is it going to be kind of lockdown Christmas for you this year? Nobody wants to tell us about your plans.
Yeah, lockdown style Christmas for us.
I noticed they got turkeys on sale in the grocery stores here. Just some people, a lot of American influence in this part of the country that I'm in here. Either Americans or Ecuadorians that have been up there. See, man, there's a ton of new headlines over there. I'm wanting to go look at them. I think Brian Kemp in Georgia is going to be forced into calling a special session. And they seem to think, John Fredrickson seems to think that's going to happen. That'll topple the whole house of cards. So hopefully we'll get back this little trauma. I don't ever remember anything like it since I've really been paying attention to this stuff over many decades, that we've ever seen a time when this many important things are converging at the same time. The synergistic situation.
The time of escalating violence.
Definitely. That's what Lily gives you the neon sign to the fact that this is their final push, is they're pulling out all the stops for that. And occasionally you see the death penalty mentioned, somebody trying to get rid of it in a state.
Oh, even more important, over on CNN, their talking heads over there at the MI6 Mockingbird Media are completing the complete lie over and over, meme, that so-called Trump dutifully challenging the results of this election theft is right-wing extreme terrorism, that he's a tyrant dictator, and he's trying to usurp the electoral process. Lie, 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 Pinocchio.
Well, here's one of those headlines that popped up. The Georgia Senate committee has recommended decertifying the state election.
Senate. That's the hot word, yep. Decert.
Decert. So anyway, that ball's rolling in Georgia. That's real good news, and I'm glad to see Raffensperger and get exposed, and Kemp for who and what they are and what they've done. The real big problem is that battle tank down there, Stacey Abrams.
Well, Raffensperger and Stacey Abrams are the one that concocted the secret deal, the agreement between the two outside the legislature's purvey. The other thing that's really hot, there's a different face on the InfoWars, Ian something or other, Aitken or something. He's got a strange name, Plinkin. But this guy's supposedly a former special ops leader, commander of special operations forces. And he's talking about the fact that this election, he's also an attorney, I guess, that this election is absolutely going to fall into the legislature of the federal government's purvey to decide and to accept or not accept based upon the viability and the authenticness of the votes in the states, and they'll have to accept the electoral votes and give them to Pence. I think that's got certain issues and problems with it myself, but if Pence protects Trump, his president, then it might be okay, but I'm not convinced. I think Pence is a deep stater all the way, brought in specially to undermine Trump if something happened to Trump.
Could be. I'm not still sure on him myself, but if it gets to the House where each state gets an elector, then the Republican states outnumber the Democrats 10%. Maybe 20%. I think it's 22 to 27 or 9, something like that.
Well,
Pence would come into the Senate. The vice president comes into the Senate to override a tie-breaking situation. I don't know that he goes into the House.
Well, an even more risky aspect of that proposition is you have all these rhino neocon warmonger Republicans that are really left-wing extremist demon crazies, and they are fouling and tainting the numbers of the pretended increase in Republican votes because they may not be true Republicans. They may be undercover deep state operatives.
Well, that's why the better let this thing roll a little bit forward, and maybe they'll expose themselves if they're still that hidden.
Well, Mossad Mitt Romney and Feinstein and Paul Ryan and McCain and Lindsey Sugarbritches Graham and Mitch McConnell, they're all unquestionably on the other side along with others. I have Murkowski up in Alaska.
You know, at least Graham comes out for Trump. McConnell doesn't even do that.
Yeah, he conceded for him real quick, didn't he? Like he had Chinese interest along with a hiding Biden Chinese.
Well, hell, he's sleeping. He's sleeping with China. I mean, literally. It's a mess, Chris. They've done a great job of infiltration with their Jewish pals on Wall Street, letting them get all these special deals they've got and have their, you know, fathers and daughters program or something they got. Have you heard about that, Chris? That's where they take their children and set them up with cush jobs in all the big Wall Street firms and the banks.
Uh-uh. You mean like Hunter Biden and Burisma?
Yeah, we're one of the daughters and her mother would come in. She'd come in for an hour a week, hang around, and her mother would always be off doing stuff, and she's one of those, you know. Even Zhao Zingping sent his daughter to Harvard, for God's sakes. Why didn't he send her to the finest Chinese university?
Inbreed and inculcate.
It's ugly. It's getting exposed. Thank God for, you know, I keep thinking there were some folks around here that were really hating on Trump. You remember the guy that called in, William, that guy called in one day and said, every time I hear you mention his name, I want to turn the show off. He ain't done nothing. Remember that guy?
Where are they now?
I mean, what do they think of Trump now at this point? So, listen, I don't know those folks. I'm not sure who. I guess they're expecting Jesus to throw his hat in the ring and run. All right? Maybe that's their candidate. So I hope a lot of people's thinkings have straightened out on that. I mean, it just amazes me why and how people hate that guy so much. There's no way we're going to read any messages on that, but I guess you guys are communicating. Anybody else? I know we got a new person just jumped on there.
It's Doug.
Douglas, man of Ishmael.
Yeah, of two words.
How you doing, Doug?
Three words.
How you doing, bud? We haven't heard from you in a while.
Hey, I'm doing okay. Speak of my back hurting things, but I wanted to call
Doug, if I can talk about my gout, you can talk about your back.
Thank you. Well, I don't want to, but my dad used to deal with that all the time, and as far as I know, it is uric acid. But I wanted to mention, you know, you brought up the nurse a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, I believe what that is called is encephalitis or encephalic shock. Okay. And so that word, it has to do with the nervous system and the brain. That's what it has to do with. Encephalitis, anything cephal, C-E with a C-E-P-H, that has to do with the brain and the nervous system. So encephalactic or encephalitis. Matter of fact, on a lot of the drugs that are put on TV all the time, one of the side effects, they say it as if it's encephalitis. Okay, encephalitis shock is possible, but it's spelt with an E-N, and so it's basically your nervous system, but it's specifically central to the brain.
How about anaphylactic shock?
I think that's what I thought it was.
Yeah, but it's not A-N, it's E-N.
There's probably a couple of different words that mean different things that sound.
Well, I looked it up. because I wasn't sure. You know, I looked up the prefix Anna, looked it up as a suffix. It's definitely EN.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's something you don't want to have. You know what this vaccine does, Doug? You know how it works? Have you done any looking into that?
As far as the RMA factor?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it rewrites code. It's done with nanobytes in it. It infiltrates and rewrites code.
It literally turns the cell into a protein-making factory that spits the protein back out, is the way I understood it.
Well, I heard a show. I listened to a guy talk about this, and he talked about the telomeres on the cells.
Right.
And he said that these RMA factors, they don't have telomeres on them. And he described it. This was a doctor, and he said that the telomeres limit, they dictate the life of the cell.
Correct.
And he said these RMA artificial things
have telomeres.
So they're like immortal. They don't have an end time to them.
Well, I know that the people that I heard discussing it were saying that it actually goes in, as you said, and rewrites some of the code. And I was talking yesterday about the genetic modifications with Monsanto and the proven court cases where get the guy next door, his crop gets inseminated and they come over and claim ownership of it. And those legal principles apply here.
Yeah. I heard the same thing. So now you're the end result. You've been infected or, et cetera, with this thing. So now you're the property of the pharmaceutical company.
The ones that own the patents on whatever they had in the vaccine that changed or rewrote your RNA.
Like Fauci, for instance.
Oh, Gates. My God. I have a feeling none of our folks are going to be bellying up to take that dreaded vaccine. A lot of other people aren't wanting to take it all of a sudden, too.
Well, one of the other things, Roger, that's bothered me for years now is that whether it's I think the United States government is the biggest contributor to the people of the Edomite, Israelite, or Israel people. And it just blows my mind that the money that supposedly this government sends to them, they use to bribe and do all the evil. I mean, we give them the money to do what they do against us.
When they used to loan them all that money decades ago, the contracts were written so they never had to pay it back in the fine print. It's amazing. They consider the U.S. Something of their creation, and we know they come in and made the people slaves that's built it and set up this damn system from hell, is what it is, and they've been sucking off of it the whole time, using it as muscle all over the world, and their plans were to chop it up, as they've done, and piecemeal move it over to China, and then use the Chinese model to take over the world.
Listen to this, Roger. I'm going to read this to you really quick out of my 1960s Collier's Encyclopedia. This is encephalitis. It's a noun. Inflammation of the brain. Brain fever. Then it goes on to say, encephalitis lethargica, an acute, frequently epidemic virus form of encephalitis, deeply involving the central nervous system and accompanied by widely varying symptoms, including fever, lethargy, and numerous sensory disturbances, sleeping sickness.
Okay, well, that's encephalitis, and that does start with an E, but we were talking about a term called anaphylactic shock. Now, I've got my chemistry and medical consultant has joined us here, Mr. Harvey, and I'm sure that he probably has something to weigh in that may help to clarify it for all of us. Mightn't you?
Go for it.
Harvey? Or do you have the heat-seeking missile there?
No.
Circle.
No. I'm just having trouble hitting the button. That's
finger problem.
Yeah. What's the real question that you're working on?
Well, that there were several complaints from people in the early part of taking this vaccine of anaphylactic shock. I saw it in the headline. Okay.
What
brought this up was the nurse that took the vaccine and fainted, and it appears that she may have died.
Yeah, that's just up the street here in Chattanooga.
Oh, it was in Chattanooga? I thought it was in Nashville.
Oh, yes, sir.
So you're seeing local coverage of it.
You know, I started to call a friend and say, find out what happened for me. What happened to that gal? But that was sad. That was really sad. They rolled her out on stage, you know, gave her the shot. I think it was 15 minutes later she was beginning to make a statement, and right in the middle of it, she just faltered.
She was on stage. She was on stage in front of a microphone behind a podium.
Yep. And had all these doctors there with her. They're playing fast and loose, injecting stuff into the bloodstream. And they don't know what it is and what it does. I feel sorry for them. But by this time in the program, you should have talked about worm medication. The
worm medication?
Yeah.
Hydrochloroquine.
That's not a worm.
Oh, the new one.
That's not a worm.
Not hydroxychloroquine.
Fenbendazole.
No, it's not fenbendazole.
You're not talking about that tequila that had a worm in it you bought down in Mexico, are you?
I'll drink to that. No, it's a new one that they came out with, another parasite wormer, but I don't remember the name of it either.
Oh, yeah, it's that, one that use stuff for, that you get from the veterinarians is cheap as dirt.
Yeah, and it's used for heartworm in dogs.
Every animal in the world, that's used as a wormer for. From elephants the way down to amoebas.
And it cures, it prevents and cures the so-called COVID and just about every other viral infection you can think of.
Oh, ivermectin.
That's it. Thank you, sir.
Brent, ivermectin. Head of the class.
Hey, did you get those instructions I had sent?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's your answer, is ivermectin, and the government will not hear of it. But after the show here, I am heading to Tractor Supply Corporation, TSC. And I am going to buy some ivermectin for my horse. And then I'll start looking around for a horse as well.
Don't you get that from the vet? Or you're going to a tractor supply place to get it?
Yeah. Tractor Supply has all that stuff. And any feed and seed store should have it. And fenbendazole, you know, fenbendazole is the anti-helminthic, the anti-worm medication. It's not a it kills parasites, and it also kills cancer. And I haven't done a deep dive into ivermectin, but my understanding has been for several months that ivermectin will likewise cure cancer. And the reason is, well, at least the reason with fenbendazole, which is known by the trade name Panacur, P-A-N-A-C-U-R, no E on the end of it, but Panacur dash the letter C as in Charlie. Panacur C or fenbendazole upsets the microtubule structure in the cells of the worms, and it does the same thing to the cancer cells in humans and animals. It upsets the microtubule structure. Well, that gives, you know, the microtubules are like an interstate highway system within your cell. They're used for the transport of proteins that are manufactured by the cell. They are what give the cell its shape, its structure. And it moves just all sorts of chemicals around within the cell.
Harvey, are you familiar with Bruce Lipton's research, cellular research, on the brain of the cell?
On the brain of the cell?
Uh-huh.
No, that term doesn't.
Well, he this is kind of old. I mean, I had a DVD on it. But he was at Indiana or Illinois University at one point. He was under a grant on doing cellular research. And he got in there under the electron microscope, and it's like the guy said, this is a very interesting overall lesson here. He said, every doctor, every nurse, every biology teacher and student, everybody in the world, in every textbook, it says that the cell and the brain of the cell is the nucleus. Okay?
Yeah, well, it's not true.
It's not true, and that's what his research proved. And what he did was go in under the microscope and pluck the nucleus out of the cell they were looking at. And
right.
The little old cell just kept on working like it had always been working. And it turns out the nucleus of the cell is a reservoir of building materials, and the brain of the cell is the cell membrane that tells it how to operate. So every doctor, every nurse, every textbook that says the nucleus is the brain of the cell is wrong.
Yeah, the nucleus is like a machine shop, a workshop. The intelligence of the cell is found on the surface of the cell, and it consists of complex sugars, and those sugars, I've got photomicrographs of it taken under, you know, taken with a scanning electron microscope, and all across the surface you've got these little sugar molecules standing up like grass or fuzz, or antennas, and antennas is probably the best analogy. And the sugar pattern, the sugar code, which is also known as the glycome, G-L-Y-C-O-M-E, they identify the cell. How do your white blood cells recognize your your, well, foreign protein? How do they recognize, how do they distinguish between self and non-self? It's because of the sugar code on the outside of the cell. Why can you not give type A blood to a person who has type B blood? Because the body goes into a reaction against the foreign blood, and it detects that because of a difference in one sugar on at one location on the surface of the red blood cell. And bingo, the person is dead because of a difference in one sugar. Now, why is it that type O blood can be given to type A or type B? It's because type O does not have as many sugars in this chain, this identification chain on its surface. Instead of having, let's say you got five sugars, you got A, B, C, D, E on in this chain, and that makes it type A. And then the next type B has A, B, C, D, F. And type O has A, B, C, D, and no fifth sugar. Well, your body doesn't detect that as foreign. So type O can be given to anybody. Type O is the universal donor, and especially type O negative. And it's all sugars. And I remember standing in microbiology lab, and I was working at my bench, and our professor was talking to two of the other students close to me, but, you know, maybe as much as 6 feet away. And he said, well, we know that the nucleus doesn't run the cell. And all of a sudden, my antenna went up, and I said, what is he talking about? Of course the nucleus runs the cell. He said, no, it's something on the cell membrane, but we don't know what it is. That was 1970, probably 78. And once I started studying sugar, the biology of sugar, glycomics is another word for it, that incident came back after all those years. You know, it was 25 years or so since that had happened. And I went, wait a minute, old Dr. So-and-so was talking about this, and he didn't know what it was. Now we know that what's on the surface of the cell is sugars. And it's too complicated for anybody to truly figure out, you know. The most complicated molecules in the world are sugars. I should say in the universe, the most complicated molecules are sugars. And they're much more complicated than DNA, RNA, proteins in general. They only have two binding sites, one at each end. Sugar can have multiple binding sites. And the complexity of sugar is just off the chart, completely off the chart. So your body, and a fellow that I know named Bill McAnally has a PhD in toxicology and pharmacology. And he was hired to research what the active ingredient was, what the therapeutic ingredient was in aloe vera. And he finally determined it was sugar. It was sugar molecules. And that was the first time, and I think that was in the mid-80s, I believe. And that was the first time in human history that sugars had been acknowledged to have any function in the human body other than providing energy for the body. But you have proteins in the body that are called, well, just pure proteins, like your collagen. You got 18 types of collagen in the human body, and some of them are not pure protein. Everybody talks about it as, well, you got to have all these proteins, and some of them are pure protein, but most of the collagen in your body is glycoprotein. So the molecule consists of both a sugar and a protein hooked together as one molecule. So, yeah, the brain of the cell is indeed something on the surface, and it's the sugars.
Well, that story is particularly important because it shows, like, everybody knows you're a citizen of the United States, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. But this is still, look, I've got over there in the next room, I've got a copy of the 1996 edition of Harper's Biochemistry. That was the first time in the history of the world that any medical or biological textbook recognized the existence of glycoproteins, or another word, you know, there's a fine difference between glycoprotein and proteoglycans, but anyhow, sugars and proteins combined into one molecule. So it never existed before in print before 1996. And if you go to a doctor who's been practicing medicine for 30 years, he's never heard of it. They're just out to lunch. Does anybody teach a class in it? Nope, sorry. They don't go back to school. They just go to work making money.
Hey, doctors have continuing education classes requirements?
Yeah, not for that. It's not a drug, and it's the drug companies that provide all those continuing education courses.
Oh, yeah, along with a lot of other things.
Yeah, in fact, it eliminates the necessity for an awful lot of drugs.
Say, Harvey.
Yep.
When I was hearing you articulating with specificity the blades of grass, the cilia from the cells, and how they were antennae or transmitter receiver gathering information, IPS addresses, if you will, to identify the cells and perhaps put out signals to see what they need to be healthy and fully nourished, and to put a call out to the network of the body to receive those things and deliver them. And of course, some things that maybe aren't good for us mask themselves as good things. But generally speaking, I think the cells would know what they need in order to fully and correctly develop.
Yeah, that's correct. Let's just say you start off life as a single cell. The union of an egg. And then you divided and divided and divided, and you became a hollow ball of cells. And then the hollow ball begins taking on more complex shapes. And these cells keep dividing. And somewhere along the line, you've become a very complex organism, very, very complex organism, and you now have a cell that divides, and it becomes, let's say, the jawbone. And the jawbone divides, and one of the cells becomes part, and another cell in the cartilage divides and becomes a tooth. But it doesn't just become a tooth. It becomes a molar on the right rear, I mean, you know, the right rear of your mouth or your jaw. It's not an, and it's not an upper molar. This is a lower molar. This is in the jaw, not up in the maxilla. So then how does that cell know to become a molar on the right side of the jaw, way in the back? How does it know? It senses its environment, and it does that through the sugar coat. And when it knows where it is by its surroundings, it knows what it is supposed to be and what it's supposed to do, and that it does. And that's how your eye got there, and it's how the lens of your eye got there, and the iris and all the little muscles in there, and the extrinsic muscles that move your eye, and on and on and on, and all these gazillions of cells in your body learned how to develop and what they should be simply by sensing where they are.
Ain't evolution great?
Yeah, it is.
I look at this as being like creative design by the creator, and the subject you're talking about here isn't collagen. Isn't that what fingernails are made of, and hair?
That's right.
And same thing with the horn of a rhinoceros. And way before the 90s, because I was involved somewhat in holistic medicine, there were people that could look at your toenails or fingernails, and you know how sometimes a white line will come up, and that indicated certain deficiencies or problems with your total body. It was an indication of something. And so I'll just say this, you know, what I brought up was encephalitis, which is swelling of the brain. Back when I was a young boy in the 50s, there, every once in a while you'd see a child with a big head, and they called it mongoloid. But it was their head became big, and I believe that had to do with the swelling of the brain. But anyway,
hydrocephalus.
Isn't the disease encephalitis spread by mosquitoes?
Yeah. Okay. That's the principal cause.
Well, if you're going to go.
Man's greatest enemy.
There's a fly.
They deliver so many different diseases.
Mosquito is the greatest spreader of disease and death of all things. Snakes, everything, animals, gorillas, everything. The mosquito kills way more people. But anyway, I was going to say, Harvey, before we go off the air, if you're going to go pick up this stuff, I forget what the name of it was there at the supply store. If you want to get first in line, just go in and go, and then say, I want to talk to Mr. Ed.
Yeah, Harvey, that'll put you at the front of the line.
Yeah.
Wait, everybody's
There's another. Yeah, they're clipping a little bit. What's the name of the fly that carries? Is it Dengue fever, the tsetse fly?
Oh, yeah, tsetse is one that's particularly bad. And it's another fly that causes, that carries river blindness over in Africa. You know, I look at all the ferocious animals in Africa and all the diseases in Africa. It's an absolute miracle that anybody can live over there. As one of the big game hunters, you know, Peter Hathaway Capstick wrote, and he was quoting other people when he said it, but he said, in Africa, everything bites. And that was really true. You look at the snakes, the big animals, wow. Everything in Africa will bite. So,
the dark continent,
dengue, river blindness. Yeah. Anyhow, the answer to this Corey, that's his name. All right, look, everybody, write this down, and you'll be able to find it very easily. There's no sense my sending the links. You can find them yourself in just the blink of an eye. It's Dr. Pierre, P-I-E-R-R-E, Corey, K-O-R-Y. Go to YouTube and put in Pierre Corey, or just Corey, and listen to his lectures or interviews about ivermectin and how effective it is.
Okay. Dr. Pierre Corey, did you say it's K-O-R-E-Y?
No, K-O-R-Y.
K-O-R-Y. Okay. Thanks, yep. Harv. There's our whistler. He's about to end up. The acapello is coming right behind it. That usually signifies that we're done for the day. Jim Ram is next. I've got already a taxi waiting outside to take me off for lunch. I'm not even dressed yet, so I'm going to go hustle and get all that done. And you guys have a good day. By the way, the Georgia Senate committee has suggested that they decertify the election, Harvey. It's up on Citizens Free Press. A lot breaking in Georgia today on this.
Wow.
Okay. So anyway, we'll be back to talk about
this.
It. Do what, Brent?
Pierre is French for Bubba.
Bubba. There you go.
Remember Pierre.
Bubba Corey. We'll see what happens between now and tomorrow and talk about it then. And you guys have a great day. And we'll try and keep it between the ditches. Jim Ram is next. Are we
bon appetit, Patriots?
We're done.